That is unexpected. It's going to take long.
Welcome everyone. This is the first kickoff meeting for the Team Accounting Drywall Mitigation Working Group. We are going to go through some introductions. First one. So this is the working group is a combination of both stakeholders as well as ad hoc, the well mitigation ad hoc from the commission. And so we'll start off with just introductions. My name is Stephanie Hori. I'm with the Consensus Building Institute and serving as the facilitator. And so just for the folks in the room, let's just do a round of introductions and let's go left to the dealer. You can start.
Adriana Landrica, Engineer Tech for the district.
Justin Jensen, Deputy Director of Public Works Water Resources.
Martha Slack, Rio Alto Water District.
Seth Lawrence, District 3.
Great, thanks. And there are others who are members of the working group. We are just waiting for them to possibly arrive at the meeting room. But we also have is it Martin Stennis?
Spanos.
Stennis with as representative from the County Farm Bureau, Thea Breton with the County Environmental Health Department, as well as the commission talking about Los Molinos as a community service district.
And Todd actually did email me and said he wasn't feeling well, so he's excused. He won't be here.
Well, participation procedures, I just thought that was something. I'll just say one voice at a time. That's the only one, just because of the recording. Makes it easier for folks to be listening in. And so we're going to do. I'll pause to see if Justin, if we have any updates that you want to share with this group. But we're going to do this a quick process overview for the development of the well mitigation program, particularly for the folks who are, this is the first time that the members of the public are kind of hearing, listening into what's going on. So we want to give them a little bit of context there, and then do a the ad hoc has been working on developing a strategy also for the well mitigation program. So we want to do an overview of that, give some background there. And then predominantly want to, there's still some key talking points of discussion items. And so we want to actually spend most of our time delving into that. But then we'll kind of look ahead, see what we want the group to be talking about going forward. And the goal is to adjourn around 3:30. Okay, so Justin, do you want to take it for a little contact?
So the reason why well mitigation program is being developed, the reason why we're here today is because we had a rejection of our groundwater sustainability plans from DWR, stating that there wasn't enough protectionism essentially for those that could have dry wells. They acknowledged the fact that we had a significant number of dry wells, and through ad hoc commission and board, it was decided and agreed upon that the fix to that problem was to create a well mitigation program for dry wells, approved in 2024 in Board Resolution 3, 2024. So ultimately, we formed an ad hoc through the commission to create this program, along with a working group. The ad hoc has been working in order to create a baseline proposal, a straw proposal, and ultimately, it's our goal to get final buy-in and commentary from the working group so that we can create a program as a whole.
So for this is a little bit of governance piece, but to clarify the roles of how the working group and the ad hoc are going to be moving forward is that the working group is intended to consist of the different interest groups, and so trying to create think through of who would be affected by the would be involved with the dry well. mitigation, and so trying to make sure that those interests are being represented in these conversations. And they are an advisory role, so they'll be providing inputs and feedback on the various strategies, thinking through how what could be the potential impacts of those various strategies, looking to them to also be kind of liaisons between the different groups, between the ad hoc, to commission, the stakeholders, and then kind of going forward as needed, thinking through and supporting the actual implementation portion of the program. So, and then in terms of the ad hoc are charged with taking in the information or feedback that you're having in the working group discussions and developing recommendations to present to the commission. The commission comes up, develops their recommendations. Ultimately, the decision maker is remains with the board. So that's listed here. In terms of meeting frequency for this group, I think it's still a little bit as needed. I know the ad hoc was meeting prior and meeting a little bit more frequently. And so depending on what the topics and issues and the needs are, the working group might meet, I think it's no more frequently than every other month, but I think that it's still up to be determined. These meetings are not subject to the Brown Act. However, in terms of being in the spirit of transparency, the commission wanted to have these meetings. Folks can call in and listen in. These meetings, the audio is being recorded and will be posted to the website. So folks can have access to that information. As I mentioned, the ad hoc reports to the commission, board makes final decisions, and that this is kind of standard language, but just the fact we're talking about the working group discussions, that folks are encouraged to be very clear that they're representing their views only. Program development, some folks might recognize this from demand management, but still phasing, these things into five phases. And so you have formation, you gather information and come up with ideas, you start exploring them, packaging them here and there, refining, and then ultimately bringing to what the final package is. So those kinds of various five steps were already well kind of in almost the gather information, generate ideas, and explore. We're kind of already in the second, third, almost even fourth phase in some cases. But ultimately, the end goal is to get to have the program adopted by January 2026. I think that was all process. But any questions from this group?
January 2026, is that us presented to the commission, or is that commission approved and at the Board of Supervisors?
We want to get it to the Board of Supervisors by that date.
Okay.
One thing that I will say, and you'll see this because I did it the same way in demand management when I presented it all to you guys in the commission. Generally speaking, this is a plan, right? The actual teeth of the plan, the things that create it, are not the plan itself. Right, their ordinances. And so ultimately, when we do this, we draft this up and we talk about it, we'll be putting something in there that says create the ordinances that do this within a certain amount of time. So you create the plan in the program, you pass that, and then you create a set of ordinances that enact it. And that's, adopting those rules through the powers of the board. So that's kind of just for anyone who's listening or hears this as a recording, the expectation isn't necessarily that there's going to be programmatic action happening in January of 2026. There may not be. There has to be a series of legal reviews and ordinances that go into place in order to put this as a plan together.
It's just presenting this to the board.
It's the plan itself that goes to the board
for
approval. So they're just saying, committing to creating those ordinances and saying, this is how we're going to do the plan. This is how it's going to happen.
Right.
But now lawyers go make ordinances.
that's the green light there. January 2026 is letting the lawyers out the gate. All right. Okay, so now I'll turn it back over to Justin to review over the draft proposal. So a little bit of the the background and helping folks understand like what is in the straw proposal, a bit of the rationale that went into some of where we landed. And then after that, we'll delve into the list of talking points or discussion points that folks have identified. But turn it back over to Justin. I think there's
yeah.
not really individual slides on this. This is just very much now if we look at the basic.
Yeah, and I'm kind of just going to briefly highlight all of the things that we have relatively detailed out, and then we can talk on talking points about the things that we still need to work through. But generally speaking, where we are right now is, I'm not going to read the opening because we already discussed the reasons for this program to be in place, but the very first item will be eligibility and the application process. So we have stated, we have gotten to the point now where we're saying applications will be limited to the owners of the property and potentially case by case by lessees. However, that will require some legal review. Eligibility for mitigation will be based on evaluations of impact being induced by groundwater overdraft conditions, such as chronic lowering of groundwater levels. So in order for an applicant to be eligible, where they are will have to have chronic groundwater lowering. There'll be two separate application processes for domestic and non-domestic wells. There's no income threshold to be eligible. Eligibility will not be determined by age, but there will be a prorated by age program. The age of well will determine by either some form of documentation or investigation on the well once we get the application in place. Applicants must be in good standing with the district and environmental health department at the time of application and is subject to submitting any documentation pertaining to their well upon the initial review. Applicant will not be eligible if well permit application recommendations were not followed. So if you put your well in after the October 2021 regulations requiring specific depths and you did not comply with those regulations, you will not be eligible for the program. Program mitigation measures is the second piece of the puzzle. So what do we do in the program if we find that you have a dry well? So Tama County will be taking actions to mitigate prior to installation of new well, giving applicant access to drinking water. So generally speaking, this is something like providing a small amount of water or a larger amount of water, depending on what we determine the well they need, something like a tank or a small shipment of water. There are already agencies that do this, and we'll be working with them to put these programs in place. The designated monetary value will be used once per specified parcel and will be recorded with title. So once you do this and you run through the well mitigation program, it'll be put on the title of the property that it happened, and you will no longer be eligible for the program. The appropriate program mitigation measures for each mitigated well will be informed by and determined following a structured programmatic initial well evaluation process. So there'll be a completed process by which we determine eligibility. So inspection of the condition of the wells, including assessments of current anticipated operational uses associated with the well and underlying causes for those impacts. Determination that the well impacts are related to groundwater management during GSP implementation period. So this is not a failed well. This is a dry well associated with groundwater management and chronically lowering of groundwater levels. All right, so funding and financing. Total monetary value of each replacement will be capped. So there isn't a type. All wells will be able to be eligible for the program, but there will be a total monetary maximum value to replace a well. Application fees will include an initial assessment of the well and will offset the cost of if approved for the mitigation program. So every applicant will pay a cost associated with the application and investigation. If it is determined that their well is eligible, then that will go back against their mitigation cost. There will be no income threshold to be eligible for the program. If it's determined that you're eligible by well issue, then you are eligible by well issue. Well owner agreement. After applicant is deemed eligible, Owner is responsible but not limited to the following. Applicant must complete a course on well education and post-mitigation responsibilities like maintenance, operations, and repair of a well.
Just for a second, though, I just want to see if the ad hoc members have any questions or if there's anything that you want to add on kind of the rationale for coming up with these
items. This is Martha Slack. I just had a question. Did we determine that the total monetary value will be for both types of, it will be the same for both types of wells?
That is a little bit within our talking points, right? How we're going to set that cap. Mm-hmm. But I think generally the consensus so far has been that there is just a number.
Okay.
So all wells that get replaced go to a maximum number.
Okay.
And part of the reason for that is we don't control what types of wells or how or what they want, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can get yourself a Cadillac. It just may be that the district is only paying for a standard access well
right.
for water, and anything above and beyond that will be the responsibility of the property owner.
And the other question I had was on the being the applicant will not be eligible if the well permit application recommendations were not followed. If the well was installed on or after October 21. So those were the specifications we set forward.
That's right.
And does that include, besides the specific depths, but the specific screening?
Screening and sealing depths is actually what it is.
Okay.
So we technically speaking, we're not saying that the well has to be a specific depth. But because of the fact that it must be screened below a certain depth, it controls
right.
the minimum depth of the well, right? So ultimately, we're saying that if you didn't comply with those rules, then you are not going to be eligible.
Okay.
So generally speaking, though, it's my presumption that most will have. You know, I think it's hopefully very unlikely that someone did not follow the instructions on their well permit. So hopefully.
It's a big hope.
So before we move on, I guess one thing to clarify that the non-domestic well program, we really haven't delved into too much as far as how we want to do that. We kind of focus on the domestic one at this point. I think that one is kind of still hanging out there a little bit in the air about what we want to do and what we cover, what we don't cover. For example, ag wells. I know we had that discussion in the past about ag wells. And do we really want, you know, are we paying for somebody to replace an ag well? If they, you know, if they're part of the reason that pumping went down there is because they've been pumping that ag well, are we paying to deepen ag wells? And I don't know that we've really come to a consensus on that yet as far as what we're doing.
Yeah, you know, one of those topics that we have discussed so far is that if you cap it at one individual price across the
right.
entire thing, then it doesn't matter what type of well it is. Obviously, there are maybe some ag wells that will fall within that category, it still could get replaced, right? A smaller old, like an 8-inch
right.
irrigation well that's in a shallow location may well get to be replaced if it was dry, but most egg wells would only just get some small amount of it reimbursed.
I guess what I'm thinking with that said, because that was a good explanation of what you just do, we need two programs, or do we just
we
say,
may just
it's a single program, everything, this is the max price, and we just sit with a single, because that explanation falls very well under our current domestic program. We just, by capping a max cap price, it they can submit the application through our program, but there's no reason to have a separate program if we just leave it.
I tend to agree. Yeah, that might not be the case. Ultimately, that'll be one of our talking points, and that'll remain on the list.
So I think hey, welcome. Oh, you came in perfectly at the right time, and we're about to delve in. We did a bit of the some context and review, particularly for folks. This is the first time that members of the public are listening in on this program. And actually, for the sake of the audio recording, do you mind introducing yourself?
Tia Branton, Environmental Health.
Okay. And so we went over, did an overview of the straw proposal. And now, as we're kind of like already going into that, there were certain talking points, discussion points that we wanted to, that folks were still like, okay, these still need to be explored. And so now, and that's, we look at the handout. Tia, do you need
a copy of that.
Sorry, I was out of space. Final for a second hole.
Oh my God. That did not sound fun. So the buckets of these discussion points, you know, the version of the program, again, the costs, what the well assessment would look like, the age of the well, and then a list of miscellaneous items. And so based off of like my conversations with Justin beforehand, we kind of identified a little bit more in detail what some of those the topics that this group sounded like they might want to delve into. And this is a list we don't have to take in this order at all, but it's a starting place. There was the proration rate for the well, what are the specifics for that. The cost cap, I think we're already starting to talk about that a bit, so we can move back to that one. The who's eligible, comparing that piece. The application, the fees for the application and the inspection. A new one that was added would be that the old wells need to be sealed, and so there's an abandonment of old wells. There is the okay if you how do you demonstrate that the dry well is due to overpumping, so that kind of lowering of groundwater levels, and then thinking through okay in the meantime what are the interim solutions. So there, so that was kind of the list of topics that sounded like folks we might want to delve in a little bit deeper on. Open it up to this group though, and also Adriana and Justin, if there are others to add to this list or anything that you want to clarify.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we are. The things that we have to hammer out and finalize are on the list.
So that's the list, and now I'm turning it over to all of you to delve in and discuss.
So, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is it's going to be really difficult for us to determine how old a well is. We're going to have this problem. We're going to have this problem. If there is not an original permit and a document on file associated with the well, determining its age might be a little bit problematic. And so, you know, I'm not really sure. You know, obviously there will be certain things that are indicators of a well age in its construction type, or maybe things that are at the well site, et cetera, et cetera. But it may be problematic.
And in the well, are you going to go back 20 years, 50 years?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So we didn't require permits prior to 85. So no, 85. And so we do have a few, but not very many. Not to say we don't have well longs for some, but I totally agree. If it's older than 85, it might be pretty
That's
rough.
40 years, though.
But yeah, 85 is 40 years, and so maybe if we're going to say, you know, at that time frame, but we also might need to discuss what happens if we do not have a permit record for them.
Right. Right. I mean, you could look at something like house construction, right? When was the house built on the property?
Right.
You could, you know,
exactly.
The well probably got built. If it's a domestic type property, then that's it probably got built the same time as the house. You know, they could argue that it's a second well, but then you'd have to show us some evidence that you had a previous well.
And then it would have to be either in 85. And if you're only going to go 50 years, that's only a 10 year span that you're even
going to speak. I think we've talked about this a little bit briefly. So there are definitions of the lifespan of infrastructure, right? And I know that the state's is 40 years for a well.
Right.
And so that might actually work out well anyway to say 85 is that cap or 40 years is that cap.
Okay.
And then it fits within that. And then it's highly likely that we do have a record. And then would you say, Tia, you probably would know this better than anyone else. Are there a lot of wells post 85 that for various reasons we do not have a permit record for? Do you think there are many of those?
Be optimistic for people. I'm going to say no. I would bet for the first 10 years ish or so, maybe. You know what I mean? Perhaps before people really got. But now the drillers, I mean, I know several that have been, well, I know three that have been drilled without a permit since I've been there in 07. So it does still happen. But I think the likelihood of it is much less.
Okay.
After the 85, maybe 5 years. I don't know because I wasn't around then. I don't know if people played by the rules or if they just started punching in the wells. So it could happen. But we have a pretty, I mean, I'm hoping that the drillers did what they were supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, in some way, almost that idea that, hey, your well was installed without a permit, we may not be able to provide you assistance.
Well, or we leave it under them. Bring us the evidence of when it was drilled, because you don't have a permit, you were supposed to, so you need to provide us.
Well, that would be, it's a great idea, but have you tried to find evidence of a well, like, you know, they
I used to work in groundwater, so no, I know exactly how many wells are drilled without permits. There's a whole lot of them out there in Tabor County.
I'm not going to be able to find any evidence, because they're going to, even if they try to find the old well log, you know, and they need townships and ranges and the owner of the property at the time it was drilled, and that's not going to happen.
That can be hard in itself, yeah, ultimately, you're right that we could probably set something up that says programmatically if it's for a domestic well and a house was built after 1985, it can be eligible. Does that make sense? You know, right. And then you can prorate it based on the age of the home.
Yeah.
And I think that could work.
I think that's a reasonable.
That could be a backup if you don't have any data.
If we don't have
data. Just be the process we use to get there. And that's, yeah, the
I think that's house construction.
I think the last thing on the list would be to video the well and make a guesstimate on the age. That's really hard to do.
I mean, depending on the water quality and what's got going on.
It's really hard to do, and that'd be my last.
And if you go by the age of the house, that would err on the side of four people, I would say. You know what I mean? Because I have a piece of property that the well was already drilled. There was no house on it. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would err by a little
bit. It would give a buffer.
It would.
Yeah. And I think you guys have probably heard me say this in meetings before. I don't want the district to be making a lot of decisions, right? I want it to just be a method.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because ultimately, then we're going to argue about that decision-making process, and it creates conflict.
Black and white. Here's what the rules are. You know, just like our well.
Anyone can go out there and say, oh, okay, it's this. Yes. Here it is, check.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Ultimately, I think that creates
the conflict. Well, we know we had an 85 that was supposed to be happening. That's a nice...
Yeah. So if we go 40 years, we'll be within that 85 period of time.
It matches DWR.
It matches DWR's lifespan of the equipment. It works within that, and they're way more likely to have a permit for it.
Correct.
So that's like, what, 2.5 basically per year prorated.
Right.
So that's functional.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we were trying to give a little bit more benefit by going 50 years, but, you know, it
just might create more arguments.
By matching the state, at least we could fall back and say we use the same criteria. There.
Unless you guys were willing to say, okay, it was done prior to 85. We have no record of it. We're going to give you 2.5% of however much money it is. So here's your $3,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just make it if it's older than this, here's your little chunk of money.
I was actually going to ask that same thing. That's a good point. Should there be a bond? Right? Is there a minimum amount? So even if your well is really old, we're going to give you... We're going to give you that last 2.5% or whatever.
Right, $5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's funding, I think that's a token for people because I think you might be having
That would probably limit a lot of the people having screaming mad about the fact that they're not getting their well replaced.
Correct.
We can say, look, your well's past its life, but we still have a $5,000.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes. We can at least help you to the process of getting it redone.
Yeah. I think that goes along.
I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I think that's not
bad. That's the prorate, but just instead of
so years, age of well, 40 years, and
those weeks
and
minimum value. Reimbursement.
Because they still have to prove that it's the lower groundwater that has the problem.
Still, that is there. Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't go away.
And you know, I mean, you're going to get a few of those people that have an old hand dug well with a case in it that went dry. That's probably been going dry for, you know,
ever
since it was built.
Yeah.
Every summer, and they'll probably come in and it's dry. But ultimately, if there's not chronic groundwater, that will get rid of them. So if there's not chronic lowering in that area, but also if there is chronic lowering and it's just the minimum, at least it gets them a new well and we get a cap a dirty old well that's not even good to be there anyway. And so there's some benefit to that to the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
overall, there's a benefit, even long term. Yeah.
Even long term. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. And I don't think that's going to cost a ton of money. I mean, if we reevaluate 5 years and there's dozens of those, then maybe we have to rethink it. But
yeah.
I don't think there'll be that many that come in.
Yeah. Okay. So minimum valuation, of course, we'll end up having to set that, but I don't think that's going to be a huge hurdle.
And then that will cut down from you having to go, no, I think that well was drilled in 84.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yep. Perfect. I think that gets us over something I was worried about. So that's good.
I mean, sometimes you have some people have installed under structure, it looks beautiful, it's a 20-year-old well, and other times you have an old, you know,
garbage sitting outside that's only 5 years old and rusty.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. No, I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah, the well age progression piece. What folks want
to
talk about next?
Cost cap. So, I mean, like, what? And this is, again, something that Tia might be better informed for us. Like, what do you think, like, an average well in Tehama County, a residential well, would cost somebody these days? I know those prices have been fluctuating.
I was supposed to get those costs for you. Let me.
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time for a minute. And let's talk about eligibility criteria. Who's eligible? So, if we are talking about doing the way that, like you say, a well is a well,
right?
A well is a well. There's just a cap. And if it's older than the state, then it's sorry, it's out. Maybe everyone's eligible. Is there an eligibility by well type then? Do we cut anybody out? I mean, even a production well for a city could technically be eligible. It's just a maximum amount of money.
I think it shouldn't be, just so you know.
You think it shouldn't be what?
I think public wells shouldn't be included.
I know. I understand why.
Okay.
Yeah. And also the agricultural thing, too.
Yeah.
But we wrote specifically in our resolution that no well would be kicked out by type.
Okay.
And so I think we may want to, if we just set it as a max. And by the way, I agree with you. I understand exactly why. I agree with you. But I think if we just set it at the max, we're at least eliminating that issue of paying for big, huge production wells that probably are lending to the issue as opposed to being affected by the issue. If that makes sense.
I get you.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I don't want to get in the business of like you said, deepening the wells that are causing the problems.
Yes.
That's really not, but that cap is, I don't have a good feel for how many we're talking about. That's the other side of it.
I suspect it's, I would hope that's a really small
number. I would hope so too. And if it is, I don't think it's an issue.
And
but
if you're thinking about the egg production guys, the egg production guys that have wells that would go dry are likely shallow and very near the river.
Correct.
I think we can agree on that, right? They're like probably really shallow and very near a body of water.
Right.
And so they might not actually be within the chronic lowering methodology anyway.
Okay. Or it's slightly farther away from the river. It's an old well that's shallow that they've been.
And it's so old that it doesn't qualify because it's aged out.
Probably. What is your max number you're going with that you're going to give each
person? We're asking you.
That's part of the reason why we want to talk about it. Like, what is the
magic cap?
Yeah, we don't know that number yet. And we've talked about it a lot. But
one person just, and I'll get more, right now, 65 a foot plus the seal and the permit. Not counting electrical and not counting pump.
Yeah.
So that's just one person for domestic. I didn't ask whether it's
65 a foot.
Metal or.
Because we need to add in the cost of destroying the old well too.
Correct. Yeah.
So that would have to be added as well.
Yeah. And then we would have to like sort of get an idea of the average depth, which I can actually do. I have that data in a database.
And you know that that's all it's going to be.
Yes.
You know.
So it would be nice to know, is that 65 a foot driven well, you know, cheap steel casing driven in, or is that, you know, with screen and
I think bottom draw. 90% of our domestic wells are bottom draw.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah. Because that's a whole lot cheaper.
And what we say from looking in the field on inspections has become the most common case material.
It's totally changed a huge amount.
It has over time. I used to think it was, you know, mostly steel case stuff.
It was all steel case, and then it switched to PVC, and now I'm seeing a combination of both. So I was actually asking the drillers the other day, I'm like, what's going on? It's like, it's all just the price of the material. So
they pick it. Oh, got it. Because on any given day, PVC is more expensive or steel is more expensive, so they just do it based on what's the best deal.
Yes.
And ultimately, I don't think there's any reason for us to make any talk comment about how it's made or whatever, as long as it's a max and you qualify under that maximum, then you're good to go.
Specifically because we're saying they're only worth 50 years anyway. So, I mean, if I was going to put in a well, I'd put in PVC because you're going to last a lot longer.
There are people who definitely have a preference.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of people don't have a clue what that preference would be because they're just like, I just want water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever the
deal is. That
does make some sense.
The water quality can kill you with steel casing.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, but I guess that goes back to the question of the price and what kind of wells. I'm nervous about including ag just because I don't know how many we're talking about. That's a big.
I'm going to tell you this right now. We don't know how many domestic we're talking about either.
Well, yeah.
We've talked about this before.
We don't have a choice about that one.
How do you know? Yeah.
So my other driller just said 65 to 75 for domestic right now. And I'll ask PVC or,
So I guess I'm leaning toward, let's just say, that all wells are included and do away with making it complicated by saying separate.
Two different programs are playing. There's a max cap.
There's two different
programs. Yeah, initially we were talking about making a different program for the non-domestic wells so that we can control it differently. But the reality is if it's just that we're going to give you an amount of money to build a new well.
Yeah.
And
that just opens it up for more questions. You know, you better ask. How come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then the domestic guys go, wait a minute, he's getting $100,000 for his well, and I'm only getting $40,000 for my well.
Better not do that.
Yeah, because even if the city was to apply and get a new well, they're only going to get whatever the going amount is.
I'm going to tell you right now, if there was a difference and it was much greater, before I did anything, I would plant some stuff around my property and say that this is an egg and domestic well, and I want the egg price. There's people that will try to cheat that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm saying I would, but I'm not quite that bad.
On the river?
Yeah, on the river. She's talking about
this. Don't worry. Yeah, got practices.
I will, in fact, have zero lawn at my house, but that's not because of the water thing. It's because I don't want to mow it.
I really enjoy personally.
I
love it.
It's
so
special. Does this include the cost of the pump? Because I know that came up one time and then someone was like, all of it.
I thought that's what we agreed on was all of it.
Yeah. You got to put in a well.
You got to put a well.
Get them water. Otherwise, because we're saying that we're going to mitigate in the meantime, otherwise, you're mitigating until they figure out how to buy a pump, and that might be forever.
Right. So,
well, there's nothing on earth about it, so I just want
to
make sure.
Yeah.
And Justin, you might be able to piggyback on Jody's because even on their, we'll call theirs a well mitigation program too, the RCAC is doing the wells, but they are spending their money for the pumps.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you guys about this because this happened since the last time we talked. So, RCAC and North Valley Services have gotten funding together to replace stuff that's on the existing list.
Right.
And the one thing that's a huge benefit of that is that kind of gives us a clean slate. So now
there's some limits. Yes.
Kind of.
I'm hoping.
I said kind of.
Like
yes.
To say it's going to.
Yeah. It won't be perfect. It will not get them all. And we'll still get some applicants, but it gives us much closer to a clean slate to start this program with. So all the stuff that's already on the existing list, they're going to go through and do some form of confirmation and work on getting them some new wells. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? So it puts us at less risk of like going back to the future and figuring out what was done in the past and what is a problem because of that, et cetera, et cetera.
But the limits on hers that I see that you will not have is the income.
There will, exactly.
He has income issues where you have to make, and I don't know, was it 60, 70? I don't know.
This is intended for people 77? That are going to have trouble paying for it as well. That's the purpose of this program.
And hers is basically sort of, it's a loan, but if you stay on your property for more than 5 years,
it's gone.
It's wiped away. Yeah. So it's like a lien, shall we say, that it's going to go away.
Yep.
But she is going to pay for the well and the
destroying of the old well and the new pump and place the pump. So she may have extras or be in the market to help out.
Well, if that comes around. And that's that part of that thing where we are going to state in here that we'll be coordinating with
at 12,500, she's going to do all of that.
Pump. That's just the pump for the connection.
Oh, okay.
Well, it'd be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, depending. At 65 a foot, there'll be wells drilled that are less than that.
That's true. Right.
Yeah,
that's true. It's
not
hilarious.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, because it means they didn't go deep enough.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a huge benefit to this program.
Yes.
That exists. So that's really cool.
Like I said, their meeting is on Thursday night, and obviously I'm going to be there. So
yep.
I'll get the numbers. I know the numbers of what she's working off of, but that will help you guys. Yes.
And I my understanding from talking to her is that this is left over from the drought emergency proclamations from those really bad seasons, 21, 20 type seasons. And that's a great, great pigtail into this.
And my driller said that's the cost, PVC or steel, depending on what you want. So
it's about the same nowadays.
About the same right now.
If you figure a 250 foot deep well with her 12,000, puts you at 28,000 plus you got to dispose of the old well and permits and stuff. So you're probably at 35, maybe 40.
Yeah.
At the most.
And that's kind of that realm we were talking about of saying, hey, you know, it's going to be about $40,000 as a cap per well. And one of the great things about doing it cap based like that for everybody is that you can actually budget.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's hugely variable, creating a budget for it is like next to impossible.
Right.
Obviously, you're still guessing how many wells a year, but
250 feet gets you pretty much everybody.
That's a lot of.
There's no rancho. That's no rancho.
That's a lot of stuff that's not in the bush.
Those are the ones I think she'll be taking care of.
Hopefully.
Because those definitely.
She specifically mentioned that most of
hers
are in rancho. Yeah. She specifically mentioned
that. But in Rancho, they're not going to be able to show that we're the ones drawing the water level down at the Rancho Tama stuff either.
It's harder.
It's harder.
Although I am going to tell you this, we do monitor on the southern end, and it does have a significant drop.
I say on that southern
end. And so there's chronic grounding they'd probably qualify on the chronic groundwater level.
Right.
Yeah, drop.
Ouch.
And by the way, there are a ton of new orchards if you drive out there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All that roadway. Yeah.
It's a long way to
Philly,
but I
can see a lot of orchards in the last few years.
And that was prior to us, but.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
So, all right. So next thing that we didn't talk about is on talking points is. So we're saying everybody's eligible. I think that's great.
Fuzzy, I love it.
What's our next one?
Application
inspection fees. So I know we're saying we're going to have them pay an application fee and we're going to an inspection fee. And I know we're saying that we're going to give that back to them once we determine that they're qualified, essentially out of the program dollars. What do we want to do it like fee study style, where we literally just say this is how much it costs for us to review an application and go out in the field and check it, right? And just confirm that that's the case, because we can just do that fee study. Right, and say this is how long it takes on average for us to go out to a well, confirm that it is, review the application, and we can just set the fee based on that average.
So are you going to have time? Is she going to have enough time to do all these?
We are absolutely going to have some sort of on-call contractor.
Because
that
might be more expensive, I guess, is the concern.
It may be,
They're going to be more, because they got to make a profit on top of the time and everything else.
It's absolutely true. And they will definitely be more expensive than us.
Right.
Actually, I don't even want to say it. They will 100% be more expensive than us.
Right.
That'd be very rare that they would be cheaper.
That would just be my concern. Do the cost study, come up with a price, and then find out, oh, they're a third more, double, or whatever.
Yes. So ultimately, the risk here is, so we set it based on ours, and then we get a whole bunch, and we have to use a contractor for a ton of them. And then you end up, it ends up drawing from the program monetary pool down to do all these inspections. The flip side of that coin is that if you get that number really, really high, right, there are people that are going to not be able to actually do it solely because of the application process.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run into the other side of that issue, which is a political one, in a sense that people will be coming to our meetings and saying, you guys suck.
So I guess the other side is, do we want to set a fee that actually the cost, or just set a flat fee that says it's a
right,
it's a deterrent for somebody just to apply to just to
yeah
apply.
Yeah yeah. And it's ultimately your deposit. As long as you're it's a deposit, yes.
We do for the people who are applying for domestic well on a piece of property that isn't improved because they have to have a use, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we get a deposit from them until they can prove that they have a permitted use for their property and then we refund it.
Yeah. So essentially until the building official signs off a house or whatever there, they have that money in hold.
Correct. And so people do like the deposit, like they get what it means and it makes them feel like they're not going to steal their money, even though in this case, if they are lying to us and right. Yeah. Well. Guess what?
We and then it may not cover the entire cost of inspections that are not legit. Meaning, we go out there and we find out that their well has water and it's just a bad pump or starter or whatever the heck it is. And but it at least keeps people honest.
Correct.
And that's kind of what it was for. Was not necessarily to cover the cost. It was to
keep them honest.
Anybody who comes home and turns on the tap and it doesn't work, calling us.
Call us. They can, yeah. Have a dry well. Come fix it.
They already called us.
Great. Yes, I. By the way, I was telling them earlier. People are hearing that this work is happening, and I'm getting a significant uptick in phone calls. It's pretty interesting. So yes, I agree that I think that is easier to administer anyway.
Right.
Or from the point of view of me having to do it, I think that that's the easiest way to do it. It's just a number.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about what's yours. What's your deposit?
$320. But we're never like we should charge so much more with everything we do. But again, this is just a deposit. We don't really do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a holder. So
it's a holder.
It doesn't have
to. So in your case, I mean if you were to go out and do it a couple hours on site.
Yep.
A couple hours.
The use of the equipment, a couple hours in the office, which is probably in the neighborhood of $500.
And
if I really were to say, that's.
We based ours on if, okay, you don't have a permitted use and we have to go cap it. That's a guy to go out there and put a cap on your well.
Yeah.
You know, was really the whole idea. Yeah. Or whatever.
So 250, I mean, that's low enough. Everybody should be able to cover it, but high enough that maybe you don't get.
People just want to spend $250 for no reason.
I don't know. I might make it a little higher than $250.
I actually think it should be $500, to be honest with you.
I think $500 too. But I think that's cost prohibitive. I think you're going to get questions on the lower income people that are looking at that.
Yeah. So ultimately what we're saying is do we want to have a I just hate this because it's gonna get crazy. Because you could technically say,
"Don't do it."
Income based.
Don't do it.
No, don't do that. I'm just saying, make it at a price that.
What do you think is reasonable? $300.
Maybe $300, but $500. I just think is.
People are gonna.
Yeah, I guess $5 now. $100 is not anything anymore. It used to be a lot of money.
You don't have any money. It's like,
yeah. Yeah,
that's the way the world's going right now. It's just it's getting bad.
But if you're
how much would it cost for somebody to go check like their
or your LDC, so you should have enough.
They would have to pay for that.
So, but if you've been to Costco,
right? Because they need you to spend the money.
Yeah,
yeah.
I get
that
makes sense.
Yeah. Can you ask one of your well driller guys what's your minimum service call?
Yeah.
So if they have to go out there and just respond and say, "Hey, check my well," do they have a minimum service call amount?
They're going to ask me. That's going
to
be
because they'll immediately be able to say, even if we had a guy like that go out there, they'd immediately be able to say the well works, so something else is the problem, right?
Because they're not getting their money back.
Because they're not.
No, they are.
Not so they're going to spend the $500, and they're not insured. They might as well.
They are if they go
forward. Yeah, if they go forward, yes. It's
but
we want
but
to be cheap.
If we
want to be more expensive than a well driller,
keep the money. Yeah, that's why I say it's got to be. I just think it's got to be a little bit.
But we wanted it higher than a well driller. She's right, because we want them to call somebody and have them check their stuff first before we go out there. We don't want them to be the ones trying to find out whether they don't think she's working.
We'll see.
Checking contacts is, come on.
Right. I mean, that's see if it works.
Yeah.
If it's cheaper than the well drillers, they're just going to call us and have you guys come fix their wells.
That's right. So. And that's what, that's
the economics, man.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. That's a good catch.
It's hard to argue, right? I agree with them. That's probably what I would want to do, too. I'm not,
And then if they find out they got to pull their pump or something anyway because there's a rubbed wire down the hole or something, that's going to be that, you know, then they got to get them out there anyway. So
yeah,
still cheaper to have you guys check that than it is to have them if our cost is less expensive. So I think we want to be above the minimum pump guy call, basic call.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And it's more work because you guys have to go out and check the physical part, but then you also have to sit down and do the groundwater portion of it as well and verify, is this in an area that the groundwater has been drawn down, and is this in a, you know, is this yes. well's depth a concern based on the data? That's some time to sit there in front of a computer and do all that.
And just do that. Yep.
Do that about analysis.
Yeah. Although one great thing about the database that we already have is that it's will save us a lot of time. Because right now we can literally just put in an APN, pop up on our map where it is, compare it to the groundwater levels, the hydro that's nearest, and that would be fairly quick.
Do you have elevations or do you have depth?
We have both.
Okay.
AMSL and depth to water.
So because you need the elevation
yeah.
comparison, not the depth comparison.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. One person is 135 an hour. The other one is getting back to me for a true service call.
Yeah, because if you said there's no way you're going to get away with less than 2 hours.
Correct.
I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah.
Because Tama County is a huge county. You got to drive.
Yeah.
You know. So it's going to be in that neighborhood of $300
right.
no matter what.
And
I suspect a lot of these guys have some kind of a minimum. I mean, that's how I would be doing, like plumbers, right?
Where
you're saying,
you
call me, I come to your house, it's $300, even if it takes me 10 seconds.
Right.
Because you accidentally left a valve off.
Yeah.
You didn't check your burger.
Exactly.
Or you have ants in your contacts.
Yeah. So, and then ultimately, we will, as a district, commit to putting things that people can check before they put in an application with us on our website. Hey, here, did you check this? Did you look at this? Do you know this? And then that way, you know, people at least have a chance to figure it out first.
It's really a great list. And if when it's all done and you make that list, I wouldn't mind having that in my office just for, and you're having road problems.
Check this out.
That'd be really nice.
And we can give little just basic tricks.
Yeah, most people don't realize there's a second breaker on the bottom of their little box and push that thing back in and it works again.
And that little, the little reset to the contactor.
All people don't realize that.
Just these little teeny things that are so easy. I can't tell you how many times I have now gone to my friend's house. To my friend's house and they're like, my well doesn't work. And I'm like, did you try that? Oh, yeah, there it's running now. But also, you might want to get that looked at because it's weak or something's wrong. Okay. So I think maybe we're on the right track with that somewhere in the $300 range.
All right. So we got that.
I also added that developing some sort of pre-application checklist.
For the district. Yeah.
That the environmental health can look to. All right.
Abandonment of old wells. I mean, we're just going to make that be a requirement, right? We're just going to say in this program, you must, by permit through environmental health, abandon the well you are looking to replace. I think that's all we need to say and we're done, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Because it has
and
to.
Just make a point that when you apply for your new well, if you apply for the structure at the same time, it's not an extra permit fee.
Got it. And we can just put that as a notation in there.
And because if we can do it at one site visit, we would like to do
yeah.
we want
and if it already doesn't work, that's going to be no problem. That better be no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pull the pump out before.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Because they need to abandon before they ready to seal the new one, is what you're saying.
We like to see it the same
way.
But people will be like, oh, I've heard every excuse and I've not heard law.
I heard but you're not getting your check
but,
unless you abandon this thing. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not even an option. That's just
part of
the on the smaller domestic wells, do you require that they fill them?
No, we can't. I have no legal authority to tell them they have to
abandon a well.
Nowhere. I can encourage it and say, please, please, it makes great
sense. I mean, you guys made us.
We are
fine. So do you want me to be the bad guy and have the district put in a place that says you have to abandon an unused well?
Well, I mean, that's part of
I'm
the
theory, right? I'm already a super jerk. So,
like for this program, yes, 100%. I'm not saying because I get people do have other reasons to keep it. So, for this program, 100%. If a well is dry, there's no reason you can convince me that it should stay usable maybe in the future.
Yeah, so you're getting a new well from us. Years I'm going
to pump it again.
Right. I didn't pitch to us. They well and dry again. So
exactly.
This program, yes. Destroy the darn thing, please.
Well, in my book, that's the whole point of this program.
Yes.
Yes.
To replace a well. Get rid of something that doesn't work and put in something that does.
Right. All right.
Got it.
All right, demonstration dry well caused by overpumping. My personal recommendation for this is it's literally like the definite. We have a definition of undesirable results associated with chronic groundwater level drop. So it's a number of feet per year or a total number of feet, right, of drop. And I think if we just use that number and say, if this occurred in your nearest monitoring well, that's it.
In the nearest monitoring well, and you're comfortable with that, that you're going to be able to...
Ultimately, as we go through this process, and you'll see this for demand management, we are going to be dramatically increasing the number of monitoring wells we have.
Right.
And so I think it'll be much more representative
yes.
As we move forward. Ultimately, how else do you determine that chronic groundwater... an example of this... We just did a review of some AEM data associated with water transmissivity through the Red Bluff Arch, right? So we looked at this data, and it's like, it looks to us like there actually is not a block here. But some of the monitoring wells in that area make it look like that is happening, like there is a block. But what it appears to be is that those are sitting on top of those two big rock humps that come up right there, those two buttes, subterranean buttes, and that they're probably perched, right? And we had this the guy that does this science, he's a guy out of Chico State that's their hydrologist and teaches their hydrology program, was like, these appear to be, the reason why this looks deceiving is that appears to be a perched well.
There's right a there. Lovely abnormality.
And so it's like this, if you take that well out, there's this perfect transition in groundwater levels. It looks like they're going through.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah,
right?
It looks to me as though it's probably true that the arch doesn't actually affect the movement of water, with the exception of tilting it slightly towards the river. So in this, you have this gradient of direct north to south, and then it kind of turns just a little bit because right. that there's probably a bit of that coming out of the foothills,
right.
but it stops well short of the river.
Wow.
And so it's kind of going like this.
That's a huge change, GL. And they've been working on that thing for 30 years to figure that out.
And we could not get DWR to admit that that was the case because ultimately all of the studies that they have this idea, but they're saying, well, now we admit that we don't know for sure. So that's a good thing, by the way. And the fact that they at least admitted that they could potentially their old data be wrong
right.
is a good thing. So,
isn't that crazy? That's all the data we were all
using forever and ever and ever. Yeah. Yep. And we even found some of their old studies that said it's we're not really sure. There's some it's not totally conclusive here. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, that's one of our items to correct.
You can leave at 2:30?
3. Oh, 3. Well, 2:45, sorry.
All right.
Yeah, there.
I think we're good there.
The overpumping thing would be really difficult to prove anyway. I mean, you'd have to put some sort of meter on the well.
For them overpumping. Yeah, I mean,
just take forever.
Because, we can take from their well log, but I don't trust them. That's why I was hoping you weren't going to go with that. You know what I mean? If static level was 50 feet, now it's 80 feet. That is some indicator, but again,
it won't be a great science.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And then temporary mitigation options. I mean, ultimately, if we can get North Valley Services, and when I talked to her, she seemed like she'd be open to that.
I'm sure she is.
And they already have this infrastructure.
Yes.
Everything's already there. They get free water from us already. It's pretty straightforward. I think if we just signed a contract with them to do the temporary mitigations, then we should be in pretty good shape.
It might make your day. Her grant will be over, I think, February of 2026, though. So
there might just be a little teeny space in there where it's not picked up, but then she'll pick right up after that and keep moving.
Because she's starting to collect tanks and stuff now, so she'll just have them sitting there. I'm honestly hoping there's not that many you guys get. But if you guys are getting an uptick of calls,
yeah.
I'd be curious what those people are saying, because they should be on our list. You know what I mean? Where we're already offering them services.
Ultimately, a whole bunch of those calls have literally been, did you check this? No. Why don't you check this and talk to me back? And some of them were coming back and said, well, the well driller said that it was a blah, blah.
Yeah,
I have. It's not.
It's that time of year, too, though. It's
yeah,
fall, right?
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are worried that that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, water levels have recovered in a lot of the county, but in the south of the county, they have not.
Right.
If you're down in the Corning area, all the way through down to Capay and all that, down to the Glenn County border right there, those groundwater levels are still low. So,
what are, just for the, also the sake of the recording, what are the terms and conditions for that temporary mitigation? Is there like a time bound? Is there a bond?
Well, ultimately, it's us who are providing, if we as an agency determine that it is a dry well that would qualify, right, then we, of course, have to do something about it right away, but you may not be able to get a well driller in there. And you're aware of this, right? At some period of time, there's some pretty long gap from when you tried to get a well drilled to when it actually got drilled.
It's way better than what it used to be, but there's still...
But it could be that situation, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, you know, we can't have them be without water. So I guess maybe we're just saying we will contract with them to provide it until the well is complete.
We may need a time limit on that just because we're not running the well for them. You know what I mean?
They're not putting off their well driller, like.
Well, yeah. or they're not going, well, we need to save some money because the $40,000 isn't enough. And, you know, I got to wait 6 months to get enough money. But the county's, yeah, so we might need some sort of time limit on that or something. I don't know how we do that because legally, yeah. I'm not sure we have.
I'm
that
game option. To talk about it for sure.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that it does leave room for there to be gamemanship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just, I can see, you know, they're thinking, well, water's here is no big deal. The county, you know, county's paying for it.
That's I totally agree with you.
I just don't know how, but you can't really say 6 weeks or a month or, you know, we don't really have that.
I would say at least just a buffer. I can't imagine it would take longer than 6 months. In all honesty, not to say that things aren't going to change and my children are all going to run off and be, you know, working in Arizona again or something crazy, but...
Yeah, or we get that big boom cycle again in egg where they're all just busy.
And you could set it at like 6 months, but then have a caveat that, you know, that if it goes longer than 6 months, you would have to provide your reasoning. Root, yeah.
Yeah, something like that would work. That way you
just have a cap.
It ends in 6 months unless you provide proof of conflict with the drill. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, something like that. That way we have a fixed cost. We know what.
No, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then it's a letter from the driller that says, hey, I'm sorry, we're busy. We couldn't schedule until this date.
Yeah.
Well, and the well permits are only good for 6 months.
So can we walk through like maybe a scenario of let's say the wells in the area, or there's an area where the groundwater levels are declining.
Mm-hmm.
There's that period. So we're seeing a trend. Then there's wells where like the wells are actually going, have gone dry and they report it. And so they apply. And then there's the inspection time, the confirmation of the inspection time. I'm drawing as if like everyone's looking at the same page. Sorry about that. And then there is, you know, the inspection confirms like this is your well has gone dry and matches everything well. And then there's the negotiation with the well driller. And then there's the construction of the well. So I'm just like trying to think through like, again, like these temporary mitigation things that helps make sure folks have water. So
as soon as we confirm that it is a dry well and it is it's going to have eligibility for the program. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll call it. It will be eligible for the program. As soon as we confirm eligibility, then they have 6 months from that date.
Right.
Is that where, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we would cover their water needs for the
for that six months.
So the question then, I'm just curious for this group, is that in the time where we're seeing that there's, you know, the groundwater levels in an area are going down. So like folks are, and that, and then there's the time when like, okay, my well's actually gone dry. And then there's the time between before it gets confirmed. And so there's that, there's those two time periods of potentially,
being about water.
Where there's an opportunity to alert folks or make sure that folks are aware, or and then there's the in between, my well has gone dry, and but it hasn't been confirmed that it's gone dry because of overpumping.
So we should also have a maximum time frame between when they apply and we do the inspection.
Yeah.
Right? Because I see what your concern is, right? We start to get all these calls, and now it's going to take us 6 months to. You know what I mean? That would be bad news, and people would get really pissed.
People would be very angry.
So we should, I see exactly what you're saying.
That's where you have the consultant on.
It's kind of rest.
So that we can get people to come do it within our time frame.
Within a short amount.
Yeah. And what do you think is reasonable? Obviously, we're not going to be doing that. We're on call 24 hours a day, and then we're not there on weekends.
Well, that's hard to say because you don't know how many of these calls you're going to get.
But I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of somebody,
One week, it seems like it's a fair, you need to call Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. You're probably not going to get anybody out there for the holiday.
So we're saying 5 business days.
But that's pushing you guys quite a bit, though, because you've got to get the call, you have to do the physical work.
But 5 business days of application. Receiving the application.
I can see that it would be reasonable for us to go out there and look at the well within 5 or 2 minutes. You know, go look at that well within 5 days. But I don't think it would be reasonable for you to go out there and pull the pump and make sure to see what's going on. Unless you have some magic wand that you can.
So there are 3 tools to use with the pump in.
Right.
So we have a sounder that will work around the pipe. Right. So that should give us an idea of compared to where existing water levels are, where is the water level in this well? Right. We have a tape so we can physically squish tape it with the old steel tapes and stick them down in there with the pump in there and determine if there's actually water in it because you'll get it back up wet. And then the third option is we have a camera. So it's actually sitting at the consultant's office right now. And in some, but not all wells, we'll be able to do that with the pump in place.
If you're comfortable, that's cool. I know Jody was saying she had a huge problem with people not being held, not having access, that sort of
thing. That's their
problem. That was what I agreed. Like, well, if they want your help, then they need to make themselves available. But she was saying that was a huge problem for her.
We will make an appointment to see your well within 5 business days. You not being there is not
on. Make an appointment. I think that's a great call.
And then within a few days after that appointment, you will have determined a yay or nay. Yeah. I mean, if it's,
I suspect on the day of the appointment,
right? It'll be pretty easy to determine. I think that's been delegated to you. You don't need to go through the commission or anything else to make those determinations. And then, you know, as soon as that determination is made, then we have
start the process.
Well, we have 48 hours to get them water or some number after that, so that you have time to make a phone call.
So give you a caveat for, you know, because people's wells go dry.
Right.
And the county has been very good. Obviously, it's all in the for the drought and emergency and stuff. However, like he was just saying, we do have 3 wells. But we allow people to go get water at any time. So I appreciate that people are going to want us to do it, but people can be responsible for their own selves.
I'm still giving people those addresses to those wells because their well will break. And I know it's not your fault. My well's broken, but man, I don't have any water.
I'm not sure exactly what the county... Mm-hmm. How they wanted it used after drought time, but that's how it's being used, and I don't see a problem
that's
with
okay
it,
for now.
Especially considering we have the new wells drilled at those 3 parks that are allowing, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, and maybe that's what you put out there from the time you call us and tell us you have a dry well. This is available.
We need to get water.
Yeah,
service.
Yeah,
not like
yeah.
Yeah.
They have access, they can deliver themselves. Yeah. Once we figure out it's our fault.
Yes.
Then we take over.
Don't say your fault. It's not your fault. Can.
Not our fault. It's not
it happens. Is they are eligible for the program.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, so just to say, like, there are already programs where for emergency drinking water. So like theoretically, if you set the 5-day cap, there are already programs for folks. So that's again, I think part of maybe some of these outreach tools sounds like various things. So.
Yeah, and something we want to write in the program so that when people are reading it,
yes.
they understand that they have
and
options.
I'll check with facilities to make sure that they won't have a problem with that. I can't imagine they will, but I'll just run one.
Tell Bob or back to so filling up my water truck every day.
They keep washing their darn cars at Ridgeway. I'm like, it's not a place
That's
to wash your cars. I mean, seriously, it's a problem. Like, I know about it and I hear about it all the
we
time.
We need a sign.
We have.
Can I don't
do far much?
Like, please.
It's a problem.
Nice.
All right.
We got the list. So I guess one of the capturing a lot of the what's being proposed and some of the rationale notes in here. One of the questions though are there other pieces of the well mitigation program development that this group wants to be talking about? Are there other issues?
I do have. This is a reimbursement, right?
So that is an interesting question. Okay. So are we going to write a check to a well driller or are we going to write a check to a person?
Because if you're writing it to the person, they have to dish out $30,000 within the week or whatever, 6 months at least.
And I think you're going to have some dirtbag who's going to be like, I just got $30,000.
Yes,
I was saying it's a
Here I come, Vegas.
Yeah.
That's why you're saying that they're reimbursing.
And if you were paying the well driller, you're going to get sucked into that whole prevailing wage, you sort of weird thing. And
it is an issue.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of well drillers don't require a check the day they finish.
Oh, true.
They have net 30 terms.
Or if you want your well log, you pay them.
Yeah.
Which, no, obviously, I know it goes to state, but.
So I guess that what I hear is there's two options. You can submit your invoice to the well driller once you're complete to us. We pay our fair share of that, or we reimburse the owner. I mean, some owners that would rather just deal with it and get reimbursed.
But some people won't.
But some people won't
$30,000.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
they're not going to have the funds available.
Right, and so that's.
I mean, and you could get a loan, but some people can't get a loan for $30,000 either. So
certainly not within a short period of time.
No.
Yeah.
And then with the 6 months.
Ultimately, I would assume that if a well driller knows programmatically that that person is going to have access to the funds, that they will drill the well.
But
we also have to
talk
to the well drillers and tell them that this is the case.
But if I was that well driller, I'd want to know the money's coming
to you,
to them, not going to the guy going to Vegas and saying, hey, you drilled my well already, man.
Yeah.
But you are correct. There is a problem. We cannot pay for work. Because paying for work requires bidding.
Right.
It requires a lot of process.
It's
going to be problematic.
Yeah. I understand that, but wouldn't this be classified? And you might talk to your auditor.
Well, we can joint check it.
It would be classified as an award and not a. Know what I'm trying to say? It's like we're using grant funds.
We're not using grant funds.
Oh, I thought we were using grant funds. But still.
There's going to be fees for this.
Still, there is a way to classify that in the general ledger that it's not.
Figure that out, because I know Shasta County had a huge problem with this.
I have seen this be a problem.
And this is like stopping. This is the stopping point. One of the big stopping points for Shasta.
Yeah.
Well, because you're right. I mean, a lot of people don't have 30,000.
Well, if they don't have 500 for the initial fee, they're not going to have 30,000.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And to get a loan for 30,000 is not like you don't just go into the bank real quick.
Especially if you just want a short term.
Seems like there's some kind of a funding mechanism
So I can look into RCAC. If they,
how they do it,
they're doing for Jody, where it's the whole, if that is something they'd be willing to do in this scenario for people, you know what I mean? individual people who would apply with them for grants if they needed
like
it.
A super short-term loan,
yeah,
essentially.
Yes, a super short-term loan to get us out of having to pay the driller, but I still think you're going to have some people who want to control their own thing. And
that's scary.
But the people that want to sell their own thing,
joint check,
they write their check. We can reimburse somebody after the fact, no big deal.
As
if
long
they're
as
willing
we
to wait, yeah, as long as we get proof that you drilled it, proof that it's, you know, you guys have signed off on it,
okay,
no
I
big deal. We can
that.
Write that check. That's easy. I mean, that's the ideal way to do it is we reimburse the owner.
So do you guys know about this thing of joint checking where you can write it to two individuals? Both individuals have to sign it in order for it to be cashed.
Like my husband only different?
Interesting.
And so what it basically says is that you write a check to this person and this person signs it, and then hands it over to the other person, and they can sign it and take it in for the money.
And it can go into either account?
Technically speaking, as long as it's signed by both parties.
Wow.
That's snazzy.
That's interesting.
It makes sense, because that is, like I said,
I don't know if I would have to talk to our people about, because I don't write checks here, about whether or not that's feasible through the county. But I know that that process does exist, because I have done it before in the private industry.
Workaround.
But I think our
but I will look at
that one probably.
Especially considering they're already going to be working.
Well, and the idea that there will be a lot of people that don't have the money to do this. The one that do have the money, I think it's a slam dunk. Just reimburse them when they're done and the whole paperwork's done. But if we have a method just for somebody to do it that doesn't have the funds, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a valuable thing to have. Because we could just say it's their problem, but I don't really want to.
And that's my alarm going off. My wife alarmed me because I have to go. But we'll. I think we can arrange that and get it taken care of before the next meet. We can kind of figure out what we can do, and we need to set it next meet.
Highlight.
Let's. We'll send you guys. We'll send you guys a request to schedule
from last week. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but I have it on today, and I saw that on Thursday, and I don't
apparently me putting it by phone sent an email to everybody else for one last week, and I put it in.
The next meeting will be.
Is going 10 minutes to get your meeting. 9 minutes to get.
Okay. For the sake of the audio,
and everybody have an email
and close out. So thank you for listening in. And
all right,
thank you. Have a good day.
Thursday.
So next time.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, wait, okay, I'll.